Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
You know, I believe that no pit is so deep that God is not deeper still. And whatever depths you are driven to in your life, God is always underneath you and always carrying you. It is impossible to go to any depth and not have God underneath. I said there'll come a day when the God who goes down into the depths with you will surely bring you up and bring you out, because that's what He's like. And that God who is in your depths, who is in that pit with you, will surely bring you out, because He is faithful to Himself. That's what He's like.
This is Global Air Force.
Did you know in the Bible it says that we are to seek to prophesy? In fact, we can read that in 1 Corinthians. One of the verses, verse 1 in chapter 14, eagerly pursue and seek, acquire, love, or aim to, earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment or gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Well, today that's going to be our focus today, our guest, Graham Cook. Now, Graham Cook, his view on the New Testament prophet, we can read out of the Voice. This is what he said. Here's what he said. First of all, there is a biblical link between apostles and prophets, laying a foundation in the church. The role of a New Testament prophet primarily is not to prophesy. It is to teach people how to hear the voice of God themselves, because Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Do you know God's voice today? Are you hearing Him today? Listen to the program today, and I'm sure it's going to tune your spiritual faculties. Here's Graham Cook.
One of my favorite stories actually started way back when I first started doing schools of prophecy. Probably in the UK then, there'd never been any kind of real formalized training. Not for decades, probably. So it's quite a new phenomena. Now, most people just thought, well, if you're prophetic, you just hear from God. And that doesn't need to be trained. You just need to be sensitive. So we were doing something quite new, something that was quite groundbreaking. And it attracted a lot of criticism. And there were three guys in particular who felt it was necessary to actually discredit the whole process of schools of prophecy. So they did that by, they used to come to every event, and they would look for anything they could, to criticize, to be negative about, to be cynical about. And they even had this kind of like newsletter, which they put out, about me and about any. They would challenge everything in Scripture, which I wasn't. I was quite happy about that. But they would often get personal about things. They would have a newsletter. They would take it upon themselves to find out where I was going to be next with the school. And they would go there weeks beforehand, visit every church in the area, and tell everybody, don't let this guy come. He's a demoniac. He's not walking in the Spirit. This guy is like a deceiver, and all that kinds of stuff, And there were three of them. And my personal assistant, Carol, and I, we used to call them the Three Stooges. And it was, for a while, it was really tough. Because, as I say, they'd go beforehand. When I went to the event itself, they'd be outside with placards with my photograph on and words saying, "This man is a deceiver, don't let him pray for you," and so on. And their ministry was to warn people about me and everything. But they would actually book in to every event and pay their fees, school fees. So they would put their placards at the back of the hall and come and sit right in the front row, right underneath the podium. And they sat there like the Brothers Grimm, Brand new notebook, three shiny pencils, taking notes about everything. And then there would be another newsletter about, everything and so on. And of course, month in, month out, for like several years, they were booking into every single event. And this really started to grate on me, and I was praying, Lord, please help me. In fact, you know, to be truthful, I was praying, dear Lord, please kill them and make it slow. We didn't answer that prayer, so I modified it to maiming. Could you not just damage their writing hand or something? We didn't answer that prayer either. But one night, I had this dream. Now, I have actually lots of dreams. God interacts a lot with me in dream form. And most of my dreams start off in the same way, that we're in the throne room, God sat on his throne, and I'm sat on the right arm of his throne, with my legs over his lap, and my left arm around his shoulder, and our heads are together, and we're talking. So this particular dream, there we are, throne room, sat on, legs over his lap, heads together, and the Father says to me, Graham, would you like to see something? And I say, yeah, sure. So he just gave this command, and one of the angels wheeled in this huge block of marble. It's about 6 feet tall, about 5 feet wide, about 4 feet deep. And the Father looks at it, he looks at me and he says, what do you think of that? And I said, Father, it's absolutely beautiful. And he said, yeah, I like it too. Would you like to see something else? And I said, yeah, sure. So he just spoke to his left, and Jesus came into view, and he dug his finger into the marble and starts to trace the outline of this figure. And then he stopped and he turned round and he smiled at me and just walked away. And the Father said to me, what do you think about that? And I said, it looks really interesting. What is it? And the Father said, Graham, would you like to see it made? And I said, yeah, sure. So he gave this command, and three pairs of hands with hammer and chisel began to come and just began to sculpt this figure. And the Father said to me, you know, Graham, they will work a lot harder if you encourage them. So how about just encouraging them, blessing them? So I began, you know, typically British, well, chaps, all power to your elbow and all that kind of stuff. And the Lord says, now, Graham, you have to really get into the spirit of it. These guys are making something, it's going to be glorious. I want you to really encourage them. So I start shouting, bless you, strength, power, you know, zeal, energy, and all that kind of stuff. And the whole thing moves on until eventually I'm standing on the arm of God's throne with my left hand on top of his head for balance. And I'm shouting away, bless you, strength, power, energy, go for it, guys. And the whole of like heaven seems in pandemonium. And there are angels laughing, there's cheering, there's all kinds of stuff going on. There's one angel in particular who's lying on the floor, killing himself laughing. It's like his hands and his feet and his wings are flapping like anything. And he's screaming with laughter. And the whole thing is going on until eventually it's finished. And I sink down in the dream back to my original position. And the Father says to me, so what do you think about that? And I looked at it, and I started to cry in the dream. I said, Father, it's absolutely astonishing. It is so beautiful. And he grinned and he said, yeah, do you know what it is? And I said, I have no idea. He said, that's you. That's how I see you. That's what I'm making you into. And I started to cry. And he said to me, son, would you like to thank the sculptors? And I said, yeah, sure. And out from behind the sculptor jumped the three stooges. And I looked at them and I remember going, ah! And I woke up going, ah! And my wife like jumped 12 feet in the bed. She opens her eyes, flicks the light on and says, what? What? And I said, Heather, stooges, heaven, I understand. I know what the stooges are for. And she looked at me and she said, you are so weird. I said, yeah, I know, but I know what the stooges are for. And now I'm praying. My whole personality, the whole thing about these guys has changed. Now I understand that God has actually sent these guys to actually make me, to help me become the kind of person I should be. So now I'm praying, please, Lord, let them be there. I went into the office a few days later and Carol says, oh, the stooges have just booked in. And I'm going, yes, thank God. And so I remember driving down to the event, just praying for these guys. And I drove past the front of the event rather than driving around the back. And they're outside with their placards, you know, marching up and down. And I look at them and I feel this rush of affection for them. It's like, my boys, there they are. And I remember going into the hall and doing a few things, then going into the main auditorium. And the three guys have sat there on the front row, looking like the Brothers Grimm. Brand new notebook, fresh row of pencils, you know. And I kind of like bounced up to them and I just said, so, how are you doing? It's great to see you guys here. Thank you so much for coming to every event. I really appreciate it because my heart towards them has totally changed. So I'm saying, well, have you had a long journey? Can I get you a cup of tea or a biscuit or something? And you can see them sitting there almost thinking, he's on drugs or something. And they kind of like stayed around for the next year or so, doing the same things they'd always done. But my heart totally changed. And from that point on, I began to see the role that even opposition could have in actually blessing my life and shaping me to be the man that I'm supposed to be in Christ. And the guys only like stuck around for another year, 18 months, and then they just disappeared off the scene. And I've never seen them since. But it totally changed my heart in terms of how I view people, particularly opposition, particularly those people who want to persecute me, how I can view that in terms of, you know, God allows in His wisdom what He could easily prevent by His power. And I began to see that God uses all kinds of things to shape me into being the man of God that He wants me to be. And so that was brilliant for me.
That was wonderful. My friend, do you think that God cares for Graham more than you? That's not true. God also cares for you. If you feel today that you are alone, that you have no one that cares, no one watching out for you, no one watching out for your welfare or your safety, well, that's just not true. Whether you feel it or not, or you have experienced it in the past, God is here to care for you in your every need. And His name is Jesus. A wonderful name. There's power in that name today for you. Say it, Jesus, Jesus. There's such power in that name that it'll break through all heaven and all earth just to reach you today, wherever you are, my friend. Now we have another recording from Graham Cook. At first, it's very hard to understand. There's music, organ music, but stick with it. Here goes. Thank you, Graham.
The Lord says that there is nothing that you can do that would make Him love you more. There is also nothing you can do that would make Him love you less. He loves you because He loves you, 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 because that is what He is like. It is His nature to love, and you will always be the beloved, and His love is unchanging. And He loves you 100%. He won't love you any better when you become better. He loves you 100% right now. And even if you have no plans to become better, He will still love you 100%. Because He loves you, because that's the way that He is. And even if you don't want to change, He will love you 100%. Even if you have no plans to walk with him, he will love you 100%. Because that's his nature. He loves all the way, all the time. His love is unchanging. What will change, says the Lord, is your ability to receive my love. And this evening, I want to cram some more of that ability inside you. So I challenge you, says the Lord, open your heart to me. Open your heart to me. And you will receive more of my love than you've ever experienced before. I dare you, says the Lord. Come on, open your heart to me. Give me your heart. Give me whatever your obstacle is. I'll take it. I'll remove it out of the way. Because I love you as you are right now. I love you 100% as you are right this moment. I love you as you are. So be loved. You are the beloved. It is your job, says the Lord, to be loved outrageously. It is why I chose you. That's why I set my love upon you. That you would live as one who is outrageously loved. That you would receive a radical love. So radical, it'll blow all your paradigms of what you think love is. And know, says the Lord, I will love you outrageously all the days of your life. Because I don't know how to be any different. This is who I am. And this is who I will always be. This is the I am that I promised you. I am he that loves you outrageously. And you may love me back with the love that I give you. You may love me back outrageously with the outrageous love that I bestow upon you. And know this, says the Lord, you can only love me as much as you love yourself. So my love comes this evening to set you free from yourself, to set you free from how you see yourself, to set you free from the smallness of your own thinking about yourself. My love comes to set you free from rejection and from shame and from low self-esteem and from despair and from abuse. Because when I look at you, says the Lord, I see something that I love. I see someone that I can love outrageously. And I have so much to bestow upon you, so much to give you, so many places to take you in my heart. But you can't go there unless you allow me to love you. And my love for you will break every barrier, bring every wall crashing down. And know this, says the Lord, my love damages fear. My love hates fear. My love will fight fear. It will fight fear in you. It will fight fear around you. And if you have fear this evening, says the Lord, then know that you have a treat in store, because my perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear where I am present, because my love casts out fear. Beloved, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. And in my love, I want you to feel good about yourself.
Tired mind, and lay your burden down. lay your burden down. Get your feet on solid ground. Take your worries to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden. Your feet on solid ground. Take your failures to the foot of the cross and lay your burden down. Lay your burden down. Lay your burden down.
There's a place in the spirit set aside for us where we can make the enemy confused. We can weary him by our rest. We can discourage him by our faith. We can demoralize him by our joy. We can depress him by our endurance. And we can dispirit him by our favor. I believe that the days that we're in are not about producing ordinary soldiers. They're about producing warriors and champions. We need to see the modern-day equivalent of David's mighty men in the earth at this time. And I've written a series of books called The Way of the Warrior. This first one is called The Qualities of a Spiritual Warrior. And the second one is called Manifesting Your Spirit. The third one is called Coming into Alignment. I believe they are a great resource to enable us to rise up and occupy in a place in the spirit where we can become overcomers and more than conquerors. Check it out on brilliantbookhouse.com.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Everything I hope for, oh Lord, everything I need. All that I need, you are so beautiful to me, and such joy and happiness only you can bring into my life, oh Lord, such joy and happiness. Only you can bring, like a dream, guiding light that shines tonight. Oh, your heaven's care to me. You are so beautiful to me. Play the song. Thank you.
You are so beautiful. My Lord, you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. I'll ever need you, all that I need. You are so beautiful. I'm so glad you came into my life. You are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. So wonderful, so marvelous to me.
Well, the devil's in the phone booth, dialing 911. Yeah, the church is on their knees and they're loading up a spiritual gun. Well, the devil thought he had us, but the my whole life has changed since the Lord saved me. I proclaim the mighty name of Jesus Christ to everyone that I see. You know the keys to the kingdom are the secret to success. To loose the Holy Ghost and the Son, the devil's in the phone booth, down at 911. Churches on their knees and they're loading up a spiritual gun. Well, the devil thought he had us, but the tables have turned, and now he's on the run. The devil's in the phone booth. Saved me, sanctified me, now the Holy Ghost is setting me free from the things of the world that were looking mighty good. The devil lied and said they were fine. Now the devil's in the phone booth, down at 911. Well, the devil's in the phone booth, down at 911. Yeah, the church is on their knees and they're holding up the spiritual gun.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Would you like to have Jim Rohn come to your group, church, or special event?
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rohn, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.